Father, we are thankful for your presence. Lord, we are thankful that we are saved and that your Spirit lives in us and your Spirit moves all over us. And Lord, that even as we gather as your people, you are here. Father, that's not just something that we manufacture. That's not something that we try and persuade ourselves about. But Lord, most of us here this morning can testify to that reality. Lord, we have experienced you. We have encountered you. And Lord, we invite you to continue to move in our lives. Continue to minister to us. Continue to touch us where we need to be touched. Lord, we ask you, God, for greater insights and greater revelation this morning. Lord, we ask, O God, for greater freedom, that your Spirit, O God, might bring us into greater freedom. Lord, your word does declare that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Lord, this morning we affirm and declare the fact that you are here. And so, Lord, we ask you for greater freedom. We ask you, O God, for greater understanding. We ask you for greater revelation. Father, we ask you to exalt Christ in our midst. Lord, may your eyes, O God, gaze upon the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we be changed into the very image that you'd cause us to see this morning. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, and amen. Great. It's good to see you all here this morning. You're all looking so lovely. Turn to a neighbor and say, you look good today. It's hard for some people to receive it. But we don't look just on the natural. We're all beautiful in the sight of God. We're doing this series which I've called Key Questions of Life. Key Questions of Life, and we made mention of five of them last week. And last week we dealt with the first question, which is, who am I? Who am I? And one of the things we said last week is that these five questions, in the way we understand them and answer them, creates all sort of issues in life today. And that's why they're key questions. And that question as to who am I is very, very important for us to know who we are. And we shared last week that the way God made us as humans, he made us with something inside of us that we want to name things. And we see that from Genesis 2, that the Lord took Adam, and Adam was given the privilege of naming all the animals. And what we said last week is that if you don't know who you are, then somebody's going to tell you who you are. They're going to give you a name. That's how people are. And so you might as well know who you are, so that when people call you things that don't align itself with who you know it to be, you can reject it and to see who you are in God. And we shared that that humans, we tend to call people based upon different features. Some, you know, if you're short, they call you shorty. You know, if you're skinny, they call you slims. You know, just. And sometimes the names are not, you know, necessarily good names. And so if you allow those names to sink into you, it can sometimes affect you negatively. But if you realize that, you know, we are not who we think we are, but we are who God says we are, if we accept what God says about us, it makes a world of a difference. And it gives us a level of security. And it doesn't mean that when people say negative things that we don't need to correct them. We can correct them, but we're not correcting them from a place of insecurity. We know who you are, and we're going to say, that's not nice. But, you know, I'm not threatened by it because I know who I am. And people come up with names sometimes because it helps them to feel better about themselves. They're insecure, and they think if they call your name, it makes them feel better. And that's the issue of racism and sexism, and all these type of things can be traced back to that very, very fact. But when you come to embrace it, you and I, we are children of God. That's who we are. And that was what threatened the devil when it came to Jesus Christ himself. The devil wasn't concerned about Jesus being the son of Mary or the son of Joseph. When he was tempting me, he says, if you are the son of God, do these things. That's what threatens the devil. And so when you and I start to appreciate that we are children of God, That's when the devil trembles. But if I rejoice in the fact that I am the son of Ewan Campbell, that's my father's name, it means nothing to the devil. He couldn't care less. But the sons of Sceva, when they came trying to deal with the devil says, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? And so you and I need to find our identity, understand who we are out of our relationship with God. Today we want to build on that and answer the question, so where did I come from? Good question. I'm glad you're here, glad you asked it. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. This is also another key question. Where did I come from? It's a question of heritage. The first question, who am I, is a question of identity. This one is heritage. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then the Lord God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God made mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So where did I come from? If you listen to the people who propose evolution, then they'll tell you you came from some animal, some monkey, some lower form of life, some animal. And if you believe you came from animals, it's going to rob you of appreciating who you really are in God and what God has done in you. And it will cause you to relate your outlook upon how the animals function. But I'm here to tell you the truth, based upon the word of God, that you did not come from animals. Turn to your neighbor and say, you didn't come from animals. Therefore, you don't need to behave like an animal. The Bible says that God made us in his image and in his likeness. God made us with dignity. God made us with a way to function that resembles himself. And so that elevates us way above all animals. The animals were not made in the image and likeness of God. We are. And not just men, but it says male and female. To get rid of all of that distinction. Both men and women are made in the very image and likeness of God. So when God looks at us, he sees his very image inside of us. And he sees us as people worthy of his son coming to die for us. When Adam needed to find a mate, in Genesis 2, and God called all the animals around, there was none that could fit the bill. Because Adam needed another human being, another person made in the image of God, to help him to fulfill all that God had called him to fulfill. And I know you like your nice little dog and your nice little cat. And I know some of you sleep with your dogs and your little cats beside you. And that's fine and good. But according to the Bible, the dog and the cat is not supposed to replace another human being. Don't throw your tomatoes yet. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Love the cat, love the dog, love your little pig, whatever you want to have. But a human being is not on the same level as an animal. And that becomes important because that has implications for the unborn child. That unborn child is a human being, just like you and I were, being created in the very image of God, and not just on a rabbit running along the street. We are all made in image and likeness of God, and therefore worthy of respect, worthy of dignity, and our life therefore is precious to us. We talk about the sanctity of human life. So we are made in the image of God spiritually. We are made to have fellowship with God. Genesis 3. God didn't come down and try and find the lions to have fellowship with them, or to find the cheaters, or, or the chimpanzee. He came down to Adam and Eve to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. You and I were created to have fellowship with God, to have communion with God. In Ecclesiastes, the writer says that eternity is put inside of us. And wherever you people have found tribes, you find the tribes trying to worship God out there. Because there's something inside of us which says we should worship God. You're not going to find the gorillas trying to worship God out there. But in humans, we were made in the image of God, and God came now to have fellowship with us. You and I were made for communion with God. That's part of our heritage. That's part of what makes us human, is the desire to know God and to walk with Him. And God looks forward to those times. Mentally. You know, I teach philosophy, and different philosophers try and say that what separates us from animals is our ability to think rationally. But sometimes they make it seem like it's just barely think better than animals. That, you know, you have some animals who have a little bit of level of rational thinking. But friends, it's a tremendous difference. It's our rational thinking why you and I can drive cars today. It's our rational thinking why people can be flying in planes. It's our rational thinking why we can have all the medications we have. So it's not just, you know, well, you know, the orca can think a little bit rationally. No, no, no. That's instinctive thinking. You and I were made with the ability to solve problems and to think of new ways of doing things. When I was a child, you know, the in thing was the little television, and we had rabbit ears, antenna to try and see the thing right. And, you know, I used to read Dick Tracy comics, and you'd see them talking on the watch, and like, man, that's science fiction. I know that's what's happening. If I was to go back into those days, I said to people, listen, you can watch movies and things like this. They'd laugh at me. They'd say, where's the antenna? But human ability to think rationally has brought us to this point and will take us much further. Amen. We are made with the ability to be creative, just like our Father. And so don't let anybody bring you down to the level of animals. We have this creative ability, and God wants to speak to us to give us creative insights and solutions to problems. And it's part of the image of God inside of you and inside of me. We are created for family, for communion, for community. Just as God wanted community, He came down to have fellowship with man, and then He realized that man needs other people around him. And so it's part of the image of God inside of us. We are created to know right from wrong, morally. There's a conscience inside of us. Even those who don't know God, there's something inside of us that tells us that certain things are not right. To take advantage, for example, of a little child. Something inside of most humans tell them that is not right. It's not like, you know, when I was a child and we had dogs, and the dogs had too many pups. Before you know the dog would start to eat one of the pups. But humans, we realize, no, that's just not right. So the image of God inside of us starts to teach us about right and wrong. And that conscience inside of us leads us to realize we need a Savior. And so we can go on and on. But I think it's important for us to see that all humans, not just Christians, all humans have this common heritage that separates us from animals. And when we embrace that, then it makes us think of ourselves differently. We are not some base creatures, but we are here to represent God in the earth. He made us to rule. He says, to rule over the earth, over the fish and the sea. And because of the disruption in our relationship with God, rather than ruling over the things that God wants us to rule over, we want to rule over each other. But as part of the image of God inside of us to rule, our God is a God who rules. That's why the kingdom of God is all about the reign of God. And we are made to reign alongside God. And if you're married, you understand this very well. Husbands understand that, you know, you might be the head, but somebody has rules in the house. See, they can't say amen. They don't dare. But we understand this. Because God has put his image inside of us. And when you appreciate this, and when you start to walk spiritually, you realize that devil, God has made us to rule and to reign over you. And New Testament tells us that many times, he has given us authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We are made to be a part of God's kingdom, to see his kingdom established in the earth, and to bring everything into subjection to Jesus Christ. That's part of my heritage. That's where I have come from. And I put here in the notes that even the womb, we are being fearfully and wonderfully made. God has taken time to put us together, and all our days are numbered. And in Luke it says that all of the very hair, the number of hairs on my head is numbered by the Lord. We are so special to him. So that's a natural heritage that separates humans from animals and from anything else. But then we have what I call our natural heritage, which comes from our families. And so with this natural heritage, some things are good and some things are bad. It's a mixture. It's like getting a big suitcase of stuff, and it's a mixture of things in it. Some are nice and some are not so nice. And the great thing is that you and I, we've been given the right to choose what we wanna take. We've been given the right. We wanna embrace the negative and live off the negative. It's your right. If you wanna reject the negative and live off the positive, it's your right. God gave us that right. And many times we don't fully appreciate it, and so we embrace everything and then wonder why we have so much difficulties. We can choose, I put you in the notes, to reject the negative parts of our heritage. And by the way, I forgot to mention that, you know, based upon technology nowadays, if you have the YouVersion app of the Bible, if you have the YouVersion app of the Bible, then if you go under events and click on that and find Cross Creek Church, you'll find the notes for today posted online. It will be there for a week, just in case you lose the paper copy. So we can choose to, I believe, reject the negative parts of our heritage. And that's what I have been doing over the years. As I look at my parents, my mother, wonderful woman who loved the Lord, but there were some things that she was involved in that weren't so good for me. And I don't think it was so good for her. She was involved in a little bit of witchcraft, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And when you read the Bible, you realize that God doesn't look so kindly upon those things. And those things can bring bondage into your life. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, the Lord says, "You shall not bow down to them," that is to idols, "or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." So the Lord has already declared that from way back then, that the sins of our parents, the things that they get involved in, can have a negative impact upon us. And thank God that he put it there for those who hate him. But the fact is, even us who love the Lord, we need to separate ourselves from the sins of our parents so we can walk fully in the blessings of God and not have the enemy hanging around creating problems in our lives. And I've given you scriptures there in the notes. You read the scriptures and you see generational sins flowing from one generation to the next. There's one man named Omri who was a father of Ahab. And it says here in Kings that Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then his son Ahab, a few verses down, did even more evil than his father did. And then Ahab's children did even more evil than Ahab. And there was an increase in sinfulness. When you appreciate this, you look back at your parents. I look back at my father who was involved in alcoholism and smoking. And I decided that's not going to run in my family. I don't want no alcoholic, no addiction to run in my family. So I'm breaking off that of my family. And I believe God has given me the right to be able to do that. And to bring about a change in my generation. I didn't know these things when I was growing up in my church years ago. They didn't tell me these things. But then I was exposed to other ministers and the Word of God. I started to get an insight into these things and was able then to break, as I said, some of the witchcraft stuff that my mother was involved in. Out of those generational sins can come generational curses. And again, we don't have time to go into that. About entire series on generational curses. For those who are involved in the mentoring program, we did that last year. But you see it in Scripture. In the book of Daniel, while we're in exile, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel in his prayer says, Lord, I realize that the curses mentioned by our forefathers have been fulfilled upon us. He realized that being in exile was part of God's curse. Daniel himself didn't do anything wrong. Daniel was a good, upright man. But he was affected by the curses brought down because of his poor parents. And so what I'm saying to us, friends, is that you can carry along all this baggage from your poor parents and then wonder why life is so difficult for you. Or you can look back and understand the principles of curses and break it off so you can walk in more freedom. You don't have to walk with all of the baggage, the negative baggage that your poor parents had with them. You can walk free from those things. Then some of us were mistreated in the early part of our years, abused and neglected and hurt. And those things affect us. Those things are real, and we can suppress them, but at some point in time, they are likely to come to the surface. Am I doomed then to walk around with this hurt? Am I doomed to walk around with this abuse, always being there, always gnawing at me? One of the things Jesus came to do in Isaiah 61, it says he came to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free, to open wide prison doors. So that which is real cannot underestimate it, cannot deny it, should not deny it. These things are real, and many people end up later on in life, you know, going astray, going, getting involved in drugs as they try to massage that pain. Some take their own lives. But there's an answer in the Lord. And I'm not saying it's an easy, like a flippant thing of a serious unforgiveness which will take us through various steps to help you to know how to walk in the victory. But there is victory. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. He has come to set the captives free. And we in the church, we need to be attuned to what's happening with people around us so we can help them before they get to a stage where they think there's no help. So these things are real. And you can walk around with that heritage. Or you can come to the Lord and come to his people. Hopefully those who understand these things and get the freedom because Christ has come to set you free. And I've met so many people who still walk around with these issues. You know, the devil trying to take out your life at different points in time. And some of the abuse was the enemy trying to take you out. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he has come to give us life and life more abundantly. And so the devil will try and has tried at different times to destroy people. And if they can look back and reframe things, they can see it was God who kept them alive. And the fact that you're alive today is testament to the goodness of God. And now he wants to mend us and heal us. And then use us to set others free. We can also choose to embrace the positive things from our heritage. Because the Lord promised to cause his blessings to flow down upon those who love him. The children of those who walk faithful, that they would experience God's blessing. And so we can choose to receive those blessings. And to give God thanks for those blessings. I didn't do anything to earn it. All I need to do is just to receive it. And this is where there is an advantage for those of us who are parents who walk with the Lord, because there's sort of a blessing that comes. But Deuteronomy tells us that even for ourselves, if we are faithful to the Lord, it says he's going to cause us to be the head and not the tail. In other words, you know, the tail means you're always struggling, always at the bottom, there always nothing goes right. The head doesn't mean that you end up being the president or the CEO. It just means that you're above the circumstances. And you're looking down at it, walking in victory. So he wants each of us to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. Not always like you're drowning. Ow. No, you didn't make us to live on. You're not bottom feeders. Come on now. If you don't believe me, read Psalm 23. It says, he prepares for what for me? A table for me in the presence of my enemies. It's feasting. And so we have all these blessings that God wants us to lay hold of. But many times it requires a certain type of stance. Many of us are too passive. And I believe God wants us to become more active, more assertive, to receive his blessings. If it's yours, then go and take it. Ask my son. He'll tell you when he comes home and he wants food, he just go and take it. Yeah. He's not like, well, I don't know if my parents are going to be upset or not. He comes to us, we're going to say, son, go and find food. And I'm saying that Lord, the Lord has made us with that instinct. He's saying to us, here are the blessings, go and take it. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of God's blessings and then you blame God. When God says, no, it's yours, go and take it. When David lost his wives and others at Ziklag, the Lord told him to go after them and recover them. The Lord didn't recover them for him. The promise is there, for example, saints, for the salvation of our loved ones. Then you're going to need to war spiritually until they come back into the faith. Don't sit back and blame God saying, look at my son and this and my daughter and that. No, declare what the truth of God's word says. And the children of the righteous are holy unto the Lord. Come on back, boy. And you speak God's word until it comes to pass. Oh, Lord, help us. I've shared this story before, but I'll share it again since some of you didn't hear it. My son, when he was about 5, you know, we established the rules in the house. No eating on the carpet. Well, in the living room, where the carpet is, no eating in front of the television, in other words. You can eat at the dining table where there's linoleum or whatever it is over the floor that can be cleaned up, but not on my carpet in front of the television. Why? I don't want to see any spaghetti sauce on my carpet. They can see the television from the table. And so they abide by the rule. My mother-in-law comes to visit, and she decides she's going to eat right up in front of the television. So what does my son do who's 5? No, he understands the rules. He understands who he is. He understands that he's a child of mine, that he has authority in the house. So he comes to grandma and says, grandma, you can't eat there. So grandma tries to ignore him. You know, like we do as adults. But look at Elliot, he's like, grandma, you can't eat there. She's still trying to ignore him. So he comes around more and says, grandma, you can't eat there. And so she's like, well, why can't I? She says, well, my father says you can't eat there. And so grandma has to get up and go to the table and eat. And what I'm saying to us saints is that God has given us a lot of stuff. And you and I need to just exercise our authority as to who we are until the devil moves. I'm not into any argument with him. All I'm saying is that devil, my God says that all of my children are righteous. Therefore, let them go. It's part of my inheritance. Look at, I hope this don't leader too far off. But look at Mr. Trump's kids. Don't you see how they function as if they know who they are? They might not agree with all what they're doing, but they function as if they know who they are. And it's the same thing for you and I. We are children of God, and He has given us this inheritance, this right to receive His blessings and to walk in His goodness. So go take it. Help us, Lord. Oh, my goodness. When it comes to our personal past, part of our heritage, we need to look back at what God has been doing in our life, the blessings, the victories, and to recount all of those blessings and victories. To see the hand of God, how He has blessed me, how He has delivered me. God did this all the time for Israel. He kept reminding them of how He brought them out of Egypt, and how I fed you, and how I did this, and how I did that, to build their faith and realize that He has a purpose for them and a destiny for them. So look back at your life and see the way in which God has delivered you. See the time when you didn't have the money and you pray and the money came in, and write it down and recite it and make it become a part of who you are. It's part of your history with the Lord. And your history will be different from my history. But if you're walking with the Lord, you have an history. And it helps to bring you to a different place to where you are today. Recount it. It says in Revelation, they overcame Him, what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto the death. The testimony is you recounting what God has done. Friends, you see me move, it's because I'm looking at what God has done. I'm rejoicing in God's victory in my life. I can't keep quiet. No, it's a miracle that the rest of you can't keep quiet, but I can't keep quiet when God has done so much in my life. He never failed me yet, was what the songwriter wrote. And Angie and Sean decided to remove the yet. He has never failed me, and He will not fail me. He will not fail you. Then we have this biblical heritage. Oh man, this part makes it even sweeter. Because you and I, we have been grafted into God's people. Romans 11. We've been grafted into the family of God. Ephesians says that there's no longer two people, just one people. We're now part of God's household, part of God's family. You know what that means? Every blessing back there in the Old Testament is mine. I'm going to walk in it. Paul could say that all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. It's already settled. That's part of my inheritance. There's so many scriptures you read in the New Testament, which goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Prophecies being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All the blessings of Abraham coming to us as children of Abraham, children of faith. Galatians chapter 3. I should have that somewhere here. Chapter 3, verse 3. Paul is saying to the Galatians, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by you believing what you have heard? And Paul is trying to get them to recount how God has worked in their midst, doing miracles, doing signs and wonders because of the life of faith, because of the Spirit of God working amongst them. And he's saying, don't go now and try and live this life by rules and laws and regulations. Go back to living by faith. Go back to live by the Spirit. Verse 6, so also Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. So the promises to Abraham come down to you and to me. It's part of my heritage. That's why I can be so bold when I come to pray. This last Wednesday we were discussing Isaiah 54. And I want to read part of Isaiah 54 for us because it's such a tremendous passage. Isaiah 54 from verse 13. This is a promise the Lord said to the exiles. And since I'm grafted in, it's part of my promise now. It says, all your children will be taught by the Lord. Isaiah 54 verse 13. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a good promise to me. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace, your children's well-being. That's my heritage. That's my inheritance. So, as my wife was sharing on Wednesday, when we come to pray for our children, it's not like, well, Lord, if it is your will, please teach them. No, it is, Lord, your word says that they will be taught by you. Therefore, Spirit of God, teach them. Bring them out of darkness. Bring them out of the bondage they're in, and bring them into the light of Jesus Christ. It's my inheritance. Next verse. In righteousness, you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. So I don't live under fear and anxiety. 1 John 4 tells me that perfect love casts out all fear. So fear has no part in me. No need to worry. In fact, part of my natural inheritance, coming from Jamaica, we have a nice saying. How many of you know the saying? Don't worry, be happy. That's more biblical than they realize. Don't worry. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the joy of the Lord. Let it be your strength. Why worry when you can be happy? Next verse. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. So God is not saying that people won't come against you. We already know that we take that for reality. People might come against you, but the Lord is like, if they come against you, I didn't send them. Which means then they have no authority. Therefore, turn around and use your authority against them. They won't succeed. You will be victorious over them. They might stab you in the back. They might plan all sorts of things for your downfall. Don't worry. The writer of Proverbs says, if they dig a pit, they should dig two. One for themselves, two. Because God is going to keep you up. This is part of my inheritance. Next verse. See, it is I who created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. Next verse. No weapon. Turn to your neighbor and say, no weapon. No weapon formed against you. Or what it says? Forged. Forged against you will prevail. He's not saying that people won't take up weapons and do all sort of stuff and come against you. But he's saying it's not going to succeed. It will not prevail against you. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is what? The heritage of the servants of the Lord. Who is that? Me and you. That's my heritage. So when they come to accuse me, when they rise up against me, I'm going to deal with it in the spirit. Ephesians 6 tells me that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So I'm going to deal with it in the spirit. And when the Spirit of God leads me to tell me what to do, then I'll also do that. But it starts right there in prayer. This is a heritage of the servants of God. This is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. So where did I come from? What is my heritage? I'm made to rule and to reign with the Lord. I'm made to ride as part of his train. I'm made to represent the kingdom of God here on earth. And I come from good stock. I go all the way back to Abraham. They're all part of my family. I've been grafted in. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. Psalm 149. One of the psalms that I love. I don't even know where I am in the notes. One of the psalms that I love. Psalm 149 verse 2 says, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. That's you and me. You are the people of Zion now. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord delights in his people. We talked about it last week that God actually likes us. He actually likes you and he likes me. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in his honor and sing for joy on their beds. This is what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is not saying let them roll over on their beds and they can't sleep and let them have anxiety and panic attacks. He didn't say that. And there are solutions to those things if you're struggling with them. But what God's word is saying is that the faithful people rejoice in his honor and sing for joy in their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. To do what? To inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron. To carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. This, in other words, this is the inheritance of all God's faithful people. You and me. It's through our praises to see things change. We come against principalities. We come against powers through our praises. And see things change in our own natural circumstances, in our own lives. That's where I come from. That's part of what makes me who I am. He said the devil don't want us to grasp these things, because once you start to grasp these things, you walk and talk and think differently. You walk and talk and you realize that you have some things to inherit, and the devil is holding on to it, and he's like, devil, better get out of my way, because I'm coming for what belongs to me. My Jesus died so that I can receive these things. Lord didn't make me to walk around with aches and pains and to be an emotional mess. That's how the devil wants you to be and to remain. But my God died so you can have healing. He died so you can have a balanced perspective on life. He died so you can stand strong in the midst of this world. You look back at our brothers who have gone on before us, people like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you see how those men stood strong in the midst of a most ungodly circumstances. And I realized, that's my brother. That's how God wants me to function in my time, in my generation. Let us stand. So who are you? And where did you come from? I didn't come from monkeys.
Amen.
I didn't come from some animal. God took time to create me. And he made me in his image. He made me to function in some respects like how he functions. He made me with the ability to be creative. He made me with the ability to rule and to reign. Made me with the ability to think rationally.
Amen.
And he put me in a family, in a context to live out my life, at least for certain years. And in that context come blessing and curses. In that context come good and bad. And he says, Joe Campbell, choose which ones you want. And I encourage us this morning to choose to reject those things that are negative. Reject generational sins. Reject curses. And receive with faith. Receive actively the blessings that come to us. If you get a natural inheritance, take it. Don't say, well, I don't deserve it. No, your parents leave it for you. Take it and use it for the kingdom of God. And then we saw even further that we are now grafted into God's people. And so we have a whole line of spiritual things to inherit, to walk in. So now you're starting to appreciate where you come from. Lay hold of the things that God has given unto you. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Maybe there's somebody in this house. You have walked away from the Lord and you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to recommit myself to him this morning. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? John? Anybody else who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? And then maybe there are some people in this house. There are some things that you have been battling with, some things holding you back. Maybe you have been mistreated, some things from the past. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want freedom. I want the healing that is promised to me this morning. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? Some obstacles in your way. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, will someone pray with me so I can get the full inheritance of what God has for me? Jesus says it's the Lord's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That's part of your inheritance. Everything that there is in the kingdom they can receive in this life. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. So pray this prayer after me, every one of us. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for Jesus Christ.
I thank you that in Christ,
I thank you in Christ,
all my sins are forgiven.
All my sins are forgiven.
Every curse is broken.
Every curse is broken.
And the blessings of Abraham,
and the blessings of Abraham,
come to me.
Come to me.
Father, this morning,
Father, this morning,
I break every curse.
Break every curse
that comes into my life.
That comes into my life.
Because of what my parents have done.
Because of what my parents have done.
Or what my parents have said.
Or what my parents have said.
Father, this morning.
Father, this morning.
I break every curse.
I break every curse.
That comes into my life.
It comes into my life.
Because of what I have done.
Because of what I've done.
And what I have said.
And what I have said.
And Father, this morning.
Father, this morning.
I receive.
I receive.
All the blessings you have for me.
All the blessings you have for me.
And I declare,
and I declare
that I am the head.
I am the head.
And not the tail.
And not the tail.
I am above.
I'm above.
And not beneath.
Not beneath.
I will always have to lend.
Always have to lend.
And never need to borrow.
Never need to borrow.
I'm blessed when I wake up.
Blessed when I wake up.
And I'm blessed when I go to bed.
And I'm blessed when I go to sleep.
I'm blessed when I leave my home.
Blessed when I leave my home.
And I'm blessed when I return home.
And I'm blessed when I return.
Father, I declare.
Father, I declare
that only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in your house forever. Amen. Thank you. Father, we just bless you this morning for your goodness to us. Now we bless you, God, because you created us in your likeness and in your image. Lord, we are not an accident. Lord, you took time to mold us and to make us and to weave us in the womb.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, you weren't surprised. You weren't like, where did he come from? Lord God, you already had a plan. You number our days even before we came on the scene. Father, you see each of us as being significant. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that you chose to bring us into this world. That, Lord, you decided that we should be male or female. That, Lord, you already work things out for us because you love us so much. And so, Lord God, we thank you, God, that indeed we are destined, oh God, to function like you, to walk like you, to talk like you, to think like you. Father, help us, oh God, to realize how valuable we are in your sight. Lord, we thank you, God, for our family of origin and the families in which we were brought up. And Lord God, we receive all the blessings that come from them. And Lord, we reject, oh God, all the things which are negative. Lord, we rejoice even more that there is so much that you have given unto us as children of God, as part of this family of God, that we have been grafted in. That Lord, you have made us who are nobodies into somebodies. And so we worship you this morning. Thank you for your promises. Lord, as we leave here, oh God, I pray your spirit might continue to work inside of us. That your spirit, oh God, might continue to help us to get a greater vision as to how you see us. And Lord, may we live our lives based upon how you see us and not how people see us. Father, oh God, I pray that whatever people might say that doesn't align itself with your word, Lord, we declare those things shall find no root in our lives. But Lord, we pray that only your word will find root in our lives and bear fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray, oh God, that those who would curse us, that Lord, like Abraham, Lord God, that you will take care of them. Father God, and those who would bless us, like Abraham, oh God, you'll also bless them back in return. And Father, we declare that we are going to walk and fulfill all your purposes for our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, and amen.